Hey everybody, welcome back to Topins with Twins. This week we're going to give you the exact blueprint on how to turn those red arrows into green arrows and have FPL success.
Hey there everyone, this is Luke Reed with Topins with Twins. I am sitting here with Paul. Paul, say hi to everyone.
How's it going everybody? We are back for another episode of Top Ends with Twins, and there's a lot of material to cover, and I'm not going to get too depressed on the pod because my FPL team is once again just screwing me over. That's what they love to do.
I think, it is a podly occurrence that you talk about your soccer-related footballing depression.
Yeah, sometimes you just need to look in the mirror, honestly. I think there's a lot of decisions I made in my FPL season that have just been a little uncalculated, I'd say. I think as I haven't been practicing what I preach from the podcast standpoint. So maybe sometimes when I drive home, instead of calling my parents, I should just listen to our podcast.
The best FPL podcast out there. So, yeah. I mean, if you want to get better at FPL, this is the podcast to listen to.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but also, I mean, another thing is too, is like, let's dedicate time. And so I'll just cut out some family time and I will get better at FPL.
Oh, that tea's hot. Okay.
Oh, all okay. Right.
It's going to be scorching hot just like this podcast.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, and almost as hot as Everton Football Club.
Mm.
In their last 5 Premier League games, Paul, guess how many they've won?
5. 4.
4. With 4. 1 draw against none other than their crosstown rival, Liverpool.
Should have been a win.
It was a really good match, and they were fortunate at the death to get, you know, it is what it is. So, Paul, how are you doing? How is FPL treating you? What are you currently sitting on? We are recording this pod after the conclusion of the majority of Game Week 25 matches. We just have Liverpool and Villa left to play. So where are you sitting at currently?
As of Sunday, it's 6:48 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Don't reveal our location, Paul.
I never said our exact location. Okay. I didn't give the GPS coordinates.
I'm just messing.
I am sitting on 51 points right now.
Okay.
The weekly average is 48, so yay, 3 points above average. Cool. Not happy with that. I'm really not. Villa, once again, as an Arsenal fan, just love to fuck me over, and I hate that I transferred in Unai Emery. I really do. I brought him in this week as for the assistant manager. And guys, I told Luke before this match week, if there wasn't a double, I was going to bring in Silva, who is Fulham's manager. What does he do? He hauls 18 points because Fulham beat Nottingham Forest, who is so overrated. I'm saying it. I don't think Nottingham Forest, I think they've had a really good season, but I don't think they're a top 5 team in the Premier League.
Here's my counter to that.
We don't have to dive into it, Luke.
My counter real quick. I think the way that the two styles mesh, Fulham are built to play against a team like Forest because they don't commit too many people forward. So it doesn't leave them too open at the back. My counter. Go ahead, though.
Anyways, I think there's certain teams in the Premier League that have just had really, they've had the benefit of luck. They've stepped it up a level in certain capacities. But there's certain teams, Liverpool, that have just had really good stretch runs, and they've had very good luck with injuries. I'm not drilling the pod, Luke. I'm really not. Stay with me.
I'm listening. I'm following.
But
I'm
following. Villa themselves, like, it's just so fucking frustrating. Like, you play Ipswich at home, and you tie 1-1 when I have Unai Emery as my assistant manager. Like,
right.
And then I also have a defender in Digne, and then Morgan Rogers. Like, I was looking at that fixture. Maybe I was misguided, but I thought that they would easily win. But Villa have just been up and down this year, so take it or leave it. And then the rest of the team just isn't performing right now. The only other returns I have are from my back line, which is crazy.
Right.
Because I also do have Salah, Captain Salah this week. But I have Verbruggen and Gabriel. And then everybody else is basically goose eggs. So on 51 points. That was a long-winded answer to your question, but sorry.
No, I think that's, you know, that's good context, because the thing that I'm going to ask you now is, it seems like you are frustrated with your team. Are you thinking about making some big changes to your team at this point?
Yeah, if I could wild card this next week, I would. And that's not like a very like calculated decision. I know there's better times to probably play it, like after I know after 25 is not going to be too bad, but like maybe going into like maybe after 29 or right before 29 with the blanks and all that stuff to set up for then coming doubles. And I think it's like 33, then there's going to be blanks and 34 possibly. So
yep.
Using a wild card later probably is better when you have more knowledge of the situation. But at the end of the day, I think I'm just tired of the team that I currently have at the moment. And I want to move on from that.
Well, how many free transfers do you have?
Well, considering that I don't even remember the number, but like
you can just look it up real fast.
I don't have any. I have one transfer going into next week because I've used the transfer this past week on Emery.
Okay.
And so I'm getting rid of him next week. So I'm basically going to leave the assistant manager with no transfers like in the bank.
Gotcha.
So I'll leave this segment going into, I think it's 27 with one transfer.
Okay, so I could see why a wild card might be necessary. I understand why you're saying that. I can't make
deep cuts to my team.
Yes. Okay, that makes sense. You know, here's the thing, right? I'm kind of going back to what you were talking about a little bit. Like earlier, you're talking about who's been lucky, who hasn't been. Well, oh no, if this is going to let me do it. So there is a site called XG Score, and what they do is they calculate the expected goals conceded, and they tell you who's the best team in a given league, right? Liverpool have their plus minus is the best in the league at the moment. So it's not, they've been fortunate with some of the decisions they've received, but they have been really good. The team that is a major outlier, that maybe this is after I talk about my team, we can talk about them, is Nottingham Forest. Nottingham Forest is sitting an expected goal differential of plus three.
Where does that sit them in the Premier League?
That would have these rankings. I might have to play around with this to get to that, but not they would be mid table.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right, like, so you know. It is what it is, but I just think that, you know.
I mean, let's just be candid on the podcast as we should be. Part of it is the Chris Wood hate too, just seeping out of my bones. Because this motherfucker always scores somehow, and I just haven't made the decision to bring him on my team.
Yeah, it's incredible. He has, it just doesn't stop. It does not stop. He is the definition of persistence.
Yeah, and like it's to me, this whole FPL season has just been it's been close to being a really good season for me. But then you have situations like I have Havertz for like probably 5-6 weeks now,
mm-hmm.
and it finally is like a good run of fixtures for Arsenal. He scored the week before,
right?
And if you watch that Leicester game, you know that he was going to be in situations where he could have scored. Which we know the questions about Havertz,
mm-hmm.
but him getting hurt right before that match and they're off in Dubai is just. It's a great representation of my season.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been, it's been tough. It's definitely been tough for a lot of people across the board.
I digress.
Yeah. So I'll dive into my team real fast.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear it, Luke.
My triple captain is active for this game week. I captain none other than Mohamed Salah. So, currently sitting on 64 points. I have, at this point, four players left to play. I have Salah, Rodgers, Watkins, and then Gakpo. Gakpo not playing is very frustrating, and I'll have, if Gakpo doesn't play against Villa, I'll have Palmer coming in with a solid two-pointer, which I was really happy to bench, hoping that Gakpo would make it into the squad. But I think the knock he picked up against Everton might be a little bit more serious than they were leading on. Mm-hmm. So that's unfortunate because the player I was going to bring in for Gakpo was going to be Cunha. And he's now on three bonus with the goal against Liverpool. So, and that hurts as well because Cunha is taking away points from Salah for my triple captain for the week. So Yeah, but you know, all in all, I'm going to be on a green arrow this week. The question is how big of a green arrow, because for something like a triple captain, with the way Salah was a great triple captain last week in 24, I would want 25 to at least match that. And now going into Villa, I'm a little concerned that he might not match that.
He could, though. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, Unai Emery may just roll out a team of five-year-olds. So,
oh my gosh, the Arsenal hate is just everywhere on the pod.
It's true. He's going to do it. You just wait.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, okay. I think the first thing that, and we just talked about this a little bit, I think we should talk about Nottingham Forest. Mm-hmm. Nottingham Forest currently find themselves third in the table, sitting on 47 points. They're 3 points ahead of City and six behind Arsenal. So, at this point, them pushing for the title is probably out of their reach, but Champions League is very, very feasible for them as long as there's no major fall off with 13 games left to go. So my question to you, Paul, is neither one of us have had Chris Wood in our teams this entire season. Do you think that you will be bringing him in at any point, or are you just going to stay away from him for the long run?
My plan is to stay away. I mean, if you look at the run of fixtures, so they play Newcastle, they play Arsenal, Man City, Ipswich, United, Villa, Everton, Spurs, Brentford, Crystal Palace. And like, that's a tough run of fixtures for them. And obviously, we know how Forest are going to play. Sometimes they're better suited to play a team that wants to control the ball like City and hit them on the counter. Like, that's really where they're going to score a lot of their goals. Chris Wood has like one half chance and he finishes it right away. I mean, it's crazy, but he's showing that he's an elite Premier League striker, I guess, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All hate aside, he's showing that he is very clinical at times, you know?
So 442 is a really good YouTube channel. They do tactical analysis and breakdowns of different games in the Premier League, sometimes Champions League, but they did a great breakdown on Forest, and they talked about Chris Wood, where he is the most clinical finisher right now in the Premier League, to the tune of where it's like over the course of, I believe it's like six matches or something like that, the average striker gets you one above average return. Chris Wood is averaging giving you an extra goal every three games.
Yeah.
He's just that clinical and not creating necessarily, but finishing the chances that he gets at an insanely high clip, that I myself kind of think I might be bringing Chris Wood in, even though we've been very adamant about, well, his luck's going to run out, the chances are going to dry up, and they just haven't. So at this point, you just have to say, maybe it doesn't look great all the time, maybe it doesn't feel completely right, but maybe it is just what it is.
No, you are kind of right though, Luke. I'm like second guessing myself, because I do think there are like FPL pillars now where you know that these players are going to perform at the highest level of like all the different assets we have. Mm-hmm. And that's really why I want a wild card, because I'm like, there's probably like, I'd say five or six players that I think I want to build a wild card team around and just leave in my team for the whole stretch run.
Right.
Notwithstanding doubles, everything else, because I mean, I think lately I've fallen into like the double craze.
It happens to a lot of people.
It worked out. I mean, it worked out well for my assistant manager in the first week with Moyes. It was great.
Yeah. No.
But I've handicapped myself a little bit. I want to get back to having like just players on my team that week by week are performing and consistently returning.
And here's the thing: I'm not to give unsolicited advice, but if you are frustrated with your team, it's the favorite thing for content creators to say, right? That each team is unique. If you feel like your team needs a reset, I would go for that, right? Because if nothing else, we have 13 games left in the season, some doubles, some blanks coming up, and you still have chips left you can use. So I would be mindful that you can very easily get yourself back to a good position, but start now, right? And don't wait till later in the season to wild card and then, you know, hope to jump up the ranks massively in 5 weeks, something like that.
Yeah,
right?
No, I agree.
So start now is my advice, and I think you'll be in a good place eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're exactly right. It's sometimes it's more about just riding the ship and doing stuff at not playing the game with a low degree of risk at times is a good way to kind of get on the right pathway and then right the ship. Because, I mean, I know where I wanted to be in this FPL season, and I thought I was on a great track. And then things sometimes just fall apart like they did for me last year. So
here's the thing. Whenever you see people who are seasoned FPL veterans, the majority of them have been through the times of trying to be a bit different, play a differential that most people are not thinking about. And usually that's not the best way to play the game. The best way to play the game is to have the best assets and maybe tinker around the edges with one or two players. Mm-hmm. Because that's how you stay in the fight. That's how you keep at a good rank. And that's something Paul and I think we both struggle at times, because we want to be creative and try to do things a little bit differently. But that puts you in a really tough situation where mm-hmm. you've got to hit on all these long shots consistently. And if you don't, your rank's going to suffer overall.
Yeah, so. I agree with you completely. In summary, I think I'm frustrated with my FPL season right now, but there's also a lot of FPL season left, and ranks can be cut in half. They can be changed. So this is why we talk about stuff like this on the pod, because it's always beneficial to listen to us just talk about the issues in our teams, but also just different things going on in FPL.
Yes.
And using other people as a resource and bouncing ideas off them is so beneficial, you know?
It really is. It really is. So one thing that I'm kind of internally thinking about is, where does Cole Palmer fit in this entire situation? Because he's currently sitting on 14 goals, 6 assists. But as of late, he hasn't been that great, right? His stats since, let's go back to January. If we're looking at from January 1st on, I mean, he's not even in the conversation of creating enough chances or even having the goal threat to where it's registering as him being a credible, like one of the top 10 options out there. Mm-hmm. And at that price point, we all know that City's fixtures are about to start turning back to the green. Haaland is someone that's in everyone's mind. Marmoush is definitely going to take the spotlight for the foreseeable future with his price point and getting that hat trick over the weekend. So he's going to be a very popular asset. I think Palmer is a hold, though, because Chelsea's fixtures, they have Aston Villa away, Southampton at home, Leicester at home. And then they go Newcastle away and then Southampton away. Oh, wait, mm-hmm. no, sorry. They go Arsenal away, Tottenham at home, and then Brentford away, Ipswich at home. I would say Cole Palmer is a keep, in my opinion, because if they're going to start turning their season back around, he's going to be the reason why, and he's got to find form again.
I agree, but I haven't really seen signs of them turning anything around yet, and especially Jackson being out for an extended period of time really hampers what they want to do. Mm-hmm. So I just don't think that at this time I'm a believer in Chelsea, and he has such a high budget to have him in your team. And if he's not performing week in and week out, and in saying that, I know that if Luke, let's just say hypothetically, transferring him out is a big risk, because people that hold on to him, it's very possible. I mean, Chelsea have not looked good. He hasn't looked great either, but he could easily have a week where he has 3 goals in the second half or in the first half, or has 2 goals and 1 assist. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, I think Chelsea will figure it out. I mean, they've shown that they have a ton of attacking talent, but the pieces just aren't coalescing right now.
Yeah, which is crazy with how much they've spent on in the last, 5 to 6 windows. Man, oh man, that is frustrating. I think Maresca, you can see in his pressers that his frustration starting to build with the most recent performance. He said, "This is the worst we played since I've been here." That's saying a lot, but I do think that with Cole Palmer, my thing here, right, is budget in our teams is not really a major concern at the moment.
That's true. That is a good
point. Because when you look at this, Holland, someone we could consider, but when you have Marmoush, who is literally over half of his under over well half of his price,
he'll probably be 7.1. Is he 7.1 already?
He's 7 right now, and I'm sure he'll rise in price either tonight or tomorrow night. He's the most transferred in player at the moment. He'll hit that percentage threshold and he'll rise, I'm sure. But with Marmoush, he's making it to where Haaland might not be essential. And I really think he's someone that we could all consider, even looking at the Liverpool game. It's something to think about, because I was really surprised when City played Real Madrid. Marmoush didn't start. And that felt weird to me. Maybe Pep didn't want to put him onto too big of a stage too early. But I feel like that versatility, he would serve them really well against someone that's really dynamic like Real Madrid. And I don't know, there's so many things about City right now that I think are fascinating. But the biggest thing, Marmoush is going to be a great option. And that helps reduce how much money we need to sort out in our teams, because he's pretty cheap.
Yeah, no, he is at 7.0. I mean, if he's going to... The interesting thing about the hat trick too is, I mean, it was in the first half, right? I mean, it was early in that game, and he just seems like, I think he's going to find that space kind of below Haaland and make those runs like off Haaland too.
Right.
And around he just seems like so dangerous in those little pockets. And I think that honestly does signal the death of Phil Foden as an FPL asset for the rest of the season. Like, to me, it just doesn't seem like...
Because there's other places to go.
Yeah.
Instead of Foden.
Yeah.
See, I think having a more dynamic attacker in their team makes Foden a better asset, because if we look at the past, Foden has 6 goals and 1 assist since January 1st in the Premier League. That's a pretty good return. I mean, there's very few. I mean, Foden is 4th overall in the league right now for goals. Since January 1st, which we don't really talk about that. But another person that I wanted to pivot to here is none other than Bing Bing Mateta.
Your guy.
He's your guy. He has been incredible. His returns, starting with this week, 7 points, 13 points the week before, which I benched. Kill me now. The week before, 2 points. The week before that, 13, 8 points, 8 points. He has been a godsend for my team. He has, I haven't seen a lot of green arrows in this time, but he's kept me from having those really bad red arrows that would have, you know, kind of brought the depression in. Mateta, thank you very much for you're basically like my counselor. So thank you very much. You've been doing a great job. Mateta's been great though. Crystal Palace are an interesting team, because when we look at the upcoming fixtures, I think Glasner is someone that we could potentially target for the assistant manager going forward.
Yeah, I could see that. I like Glasner as an assistant manager.
Yeah, because Crystal Palace, if you're on your assistant manager right now, going into game week 26, you could transfer from, let's say, Slot or Unai Emery, which, you know.
Fuck that.
You never know what could happen against Liverpool. Give them a shot. But my thing here is, if you go to Glasner for game week 26, they have Fulham away. And that is a fixture that I think Crystal Palace could very easily win. And you get the table bonus as a part of that.
Yeah.
That seems like I would really be targeting that fixture, in my opinion. But to each manager... You make your own choice.
That's correct. You know what? I will say, Luke, I'm going to reveal a little bit of my plans with assistant manager Chip real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
So ideally, I wanted to target the City and Liverpool game.
Yeah.
And City's win this past weekend really fucked that up. Because if they would have lost and Newcastle would have beat them.
Right. Right.
Let's see. Yeah. Am I silly here? Let's see. Table. Where are we at? Yeah, so if City would have lost to Newcastle this weekend, they'd be sitting on 41 points. Newcastle would be on 44.
Right.
And then they would have easily been like 6 spots behind Liverpool. And that would have been perfect. I think City really can do a lot of damage to Liverpool, especially we were talking about with the way they're kind of figuring out the new state of their team. And the main issue is if they just don't have people hurt for that.
The thing about this fixture, it is without a doubt an extremely dangerous matchup for Liverpool, because City have nothing to lose playing in this.
Yeah.
And they'll go into it. After Marmoush's hat trick, I'm sure he'll be starting. There's going to be a freedom to City how they should be playing that I think Liverpool won't be able to match because they have so much on the line.
Yeah.
And as we saw today, Liverpool are definitely not playing their best at the moment.
Yeah, they should have lost. They should have tied today.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said for getting the 3 points. They figured it out, but I think that Liverpool people are going to be going after them with the way that they've been performing the last couple weeks.
They have to go away to Villa, then they play City at home, right?
And then City away.
City away, and then Newcastle at home.
So then they have Southampton at home.
Yes. I mean, that could be tricky. Who knows?
We'll see.
I don't know, but I do think, Luca, I agree with you that it's going to be, I think those three fixtures, honestly, are going to determine the layout of the title.
Yeah, but if you look at Liverpool, they still have difficult fixtures after that. They have Fulham away. That seems a little tricky. Tottenham at home, not as clear cut as you think. Chelsea away. Arsenal at home. Brighton away. All of those are not, you wouldn't automatically just write down 3 points for those.
Yeah.
And let's say if Arsenal get within, they keep the gap within, I'd say, 4 to 6 points going into this match for 36 when Arsenal plays at home against Liverpool.
Well, they play.
That is going to be huge.
Mm-hmm. No, it's going to be a huge matchup. But
yeah,
hopefully it's still within distance, because not even my Arsenal love and Liverpool hate at the moment, but to have a title-deciding fixture that close to the end of the season, hopefully it's all within play, because that's going to be an awesome fixture to watch.
It would be. It would be a lot of fun to watch that
one. I'll be shaking in a corner, but
it'll be fun. Watching that one from behind the couch, for
sure. It'll be fun.
Well, Paul, my question to you also, are there any SPL assets out there right now that you think are a great asset to invest in going forward?
I mean, I think the easiest one we talked about in a little bit is Cunha.
Mm-hmm. Cunha's
like
a great one.
Like, this man just returns. It doesn't matter who he plays. I mean, they played Villa. He had 7 points, had a goal. Played Liverpool away. The top team in the Premier League this year. I'm not saying best. The top team had a great goal today. I mean, and then going forward, I mean, their fixtures are pretty good. I mean, they play Bournemouth away, Fulham at home, Everton at home, Southampton away, West Ham at home, Ipswich away. And we just know that, like, for Wolves, I mean, they've had a really strange season. It seems like they're probably going to avoid relegation. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Things can change very quickly. But Cunha, I mean, dude, he's just a baller. Like, he is kind of one of those, like, things that we talk about, where whenever you target an attacker, you want them to be, like, a cornerstone of their attack. And he is the cornerstone of Wolves.
Yeah. Everything that they do comes from him. Right, he is the creator, he's the finisher, and that's perfect for FPL, because within the bonus point system, Cunha is a bonus point magnet. Like today, usually Salah is almost guaranteed 3 bonus points if he gets a goal. Today, Cunha took all 3 bonus.
Yeah.
And that is a feat unto itself. So, and Cunha is fun to watch play too.
He's
one of those players where he's great with the ball at his feet. He's creative. He sees the pitch really, really well and has an innate ability, you know, to kind of read the game.
I think one of his most underrated characteristics is how strong he is with the ball.
Yeah.
Like, you just see, he kind of has, like, I think a good comp for him a little bit is, like, when Morgan Rodgers gets a little bit older and kind of figures a couple things out. Like, the way they both kind of, like,
they kind of glide.
Just eliminate people with the ball at their feet.
They glide.
Yeah.
Rodgers is what's the way to say this? I think Rodgers is earlier in his career, obviously, but Rodgers he's almost like, what's the best way to say this? It's kind of like he's almost like more brute strength at this point. Yeah, right. No, like he's raw physicality, and I think Cunha is a bit more, has a bit more artistry to his arsenal with how he plays. So, yeah. Another player who I think could be a really good option going forward, that I'm not, I think Mateta is someone that I really want to keep in my team for a long time.
Yeah, as you should. I mean,
right? Because he's been leading the league in XG. So since January 1st, Mateta has the, well, maybe not, he's the highest. Mateta has the second highest XG in the league.
Who has the highest?
The highest is Wissa. A huge swinging door moment here, right? Because a lot of people kind of went Wissa the past 2 to 3 weeks. Wissa has an XG of 5.75 with 2 goals.
Yeah.
And multiple goals ruled offsides. Mateta has an XG of 5.6 with 7 goals. So he's outperforming his XG by 1.4. Wissa's underperforming his by almost 4 goals.
Chris Wood, watch out. Bang, bang, Mateta's coming in for your throne.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Chris Wood is overperforming his XG even more than Mateta is.
Oh, the king is back.
We are not surprised by that at all. But on top of that, I mean, this is kind of something I really wanted to talk about on the podcast. We are having a ton of players vastly overperform their XG for the past month and a half or so. It is incredible. You have, let me pull up the list here that I put together.
So while you're looking at that, Luke, or pulling it up, why do you think that's happening? Why do you think that's going to be such a common occurrence over the past month and a half?
I just think there's a lot of really great players in the Premier League, and some of them have been in positions where maybe they're not getting the time on the pitch and they're finding that time again and building form back. And as the form comes back, you see these overperformances, right? That, and you know, they are kind of like a purple patch. These players, let's look at one for example. Oh, this is the wrong list, I think. Nope. Okay. Right list.
We're figuring it out live on the pod.
So Chris Wood overperforming his XG by 2.3 goals since January 13th. Phil Foden, Kluivert, Beto with Everton, all of these players are overperforming their XG by almost 2.5 goal, which is pretty incredible that it's consistently happening this much. I just think that the quality and the level of player in the Premier League is so incredibly elite that all it takes is these players getting a goal or two and their minds just instantly switch on where they're hunting goals. And once you give someone a taste, they're going to continue to find the back of the net. And Chris Wood is the embodiment of that. He has been performing so well the entirety of the season. We thought it would fade, but it hasn't. And he's just sticking around. He's scoring goals.
Yeah, it is what it is. I understand where you're coming from. Like, I agree with you. The level of the Premier League, I think, is exceptionally high right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have a lot of teams. I mean, like we've talked about this a lot in the pod, but a lot of these teams in the mid table. I mean, you look at, we love to talk about Fulham, Bournemouth. Who else are we talking about? I mean, Chelsea have kind of dropped, but I mean, obviously they have a very high ceiling whenever they're playing well. You have teams like Newcastle that are fighting for Champions League. You have City who have had a horrible year, but still have the pedigree and the talent to be really good. And I mean, look at Everton right now. They've won, what, 4 or 5?
They have won 4 of their last 5, yes, which is pretty incredible. Manchester United, they play Everton next.
Worst team.
Wouldn't be surprised to see Everton win that one 3 or 4 to 0.
Yeah.
And that's not even, like, it's just the reality that Everton are set up in a way where Sean Dyche gave them the capacity to be a very good defensive team. And that was their backbone for the past, you know, multiple seasons. But David Moyes, who I have talked about a fair amount on this podcast, has done an incredible job of really just taking this team, giving it a bit more of a spark, and they have run with it. And maybe the fixtures are a little favorable, but nevertheless, he's getting the results. And I mean, really, over this past 5-week stretch, they have taken themselves out of the relegation fight.
Mm-hmm.
They're tied on points now with Tottenham, Crystal Palace, and Everton. With Manchester United sitting below them, one spot below that, that raises an interesting question. Maybe Amorim is a really interesting assistant manager option if they start to figure things out a little bit more. But
I wouldn't. I don't believe in them doing that at all.
We would have to see multiple weeks of better performances for me to even think about going there. Because for Manchester United, they've lost three of their last fixtures, and that is just. I mean, it's just not going to be acceptable for where they're at, for what the club expects. I wouldn't be surprised if Amorim might be let go at some point.
I mean, what a disaster. What a fucking disaster that they don't fire Ten Hag in the summer. They bring him back for what? He lasted, what, maybe 3 months?
Something like that, I think.
3 months, 4 months, whatever it is. And then you bring in this young star coach. And it is just so apparent that the organizational structure at Manchester United is flawed and that there are fundamental issues with how they operate the club because they can't figure it out.
My thing was over the past, I feel like,
I mean, they could be relegated. They could have been.
I think they're okay. They're currently sitting.
They're at 29 points.
13 points. No, sorry. 12 points ahead of Ipswich, who are in 18th right now. So a lot would have to change in order for that to happen. But there are these narratives, right, where Tottenham, for example, Tottenham have a really good goal differential. I think they've been unfortunate, and they've had a ton of injuries where people were saying Tottenham are going to be relegated, but you don't really hear that in the narratives about Manchester United either. And I think, you know, there's certain biases towards certain clubs. It is what it is. That's kind of how the Premier League operates. But when you look at Manchester United, they have spent a lot of money on trying to recruit the top talents in the world. And all you heard about today in building up to the match against Tottenham was who was on their bench.
Yeah.
It just felt very hypocritical to me that the talk is, oh, well, we don't have anyone to bring in. Well, how much have you spent on players? And then you still don't have anything to show for it. Like, that just drives me crazy.
Well, look, another thing too is, I mean, look at Rashford and his Villa debut. Like, he subs on, he looks great.
He looked incredible, and he's a bastard for stealing bonus points from Ollie Watkins. But he looks like he has a fresh start. It's a new mentality where he can go and he can just play football and enjoy it for what it is. Sometimes you need a reset, and hopefully this gives him that reset, because we've talked about it on the pod. If he would have gone to Arsenal, I think you would have been really excited about that, right?
Are you kidding me? I would never have to see Raheem Sterling on my screen. God, that would have been fucking beautiful. Rashford, who has terrorized Arsenal at different points in his career. Like, to have that person locked in the left wing would have been awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think it was a missed opportunity, really.
We've talked about Arsenal enough. I do think, Luke, that... yeah, I think we've said this all season. We say this at each podcast. So this is a really important time for FPL managers right now, because I mean, this is kind of like setting yourself up for the stretch run, and we want to put all the pieces in play. What do you kind of think about where your team's currently sitting right now and your ideas about, like, you don't have to say exact chip usage or all that stuff, but just kind of the layout of your team. How are you feeling? Just like doing a little check-in with you right now.
Where my head is currently at is I am hovering around, I think, after today's points go in and my overall rank updates, I'll be sitting at about 1.8 to 1.7 million, somewhere in that range. So what that tells me is that I think I've had an okay season. It has not been something that I would realistically be very happy about, because I've missed a lot of key decisions going back that I think I'll try to incorporate going forward. What I need to do now is be aggressive in how I'm trying to bring players into my team and how I'm using my chips. So I have my bench boost, my free hit, my wild card, and my assistant manager left to be used. All four of those provide me with a very high potential upside if I use them correctly. So I will be targeting the doubles for the best way to get high upside from my team. That being said, I think that I'm going to try to shape my use of chips around my free hit. Well, no, realistically, I'm going to shape it around my bench boost and my assistant manager. Yeah. I think those two chips at this point in time give me the highest upside that I can chase. And I'm going to decide how to use my chips accordingly based upon that. With that being said, before we jump over to Paul, for context, there's going to be a blank game week in game week 29, a double game week in 33, a blank game week in 34, and then a double game week in 36. But there's also, I think, Paul, do you know exactly when do Newcastle and Crystal Palace play? When was that fixture rearranged to? I think it was...
So that's going to be 32.
Yes.
Yep. So it's going to be 32. Yep. That's, just to be clear, it's Newcastle plays Manchester United and Crystal Palace, and then Crystal Palace will play Manchester City and Newcastle.
Yes, exactly. Sorry, I have an other spreadsheet I'm using, and no, that has not been updated yet.
And that's, like usual, I'm referencing Ben Crellin's schedule that he puts out. That's the double god. He knows exactly what's going on all the time.
Yeah, I really wish that for my chips, I could use a free hit in a double game week. That would be my ideal use of the chip. But with the lack of a lot of doubles, I think it's going to be hard to do that. And for example, for 32... whenever Newcastle and Crystal Palace double, I should pretty easily be able to get to potentially six doublers if I want, because I already have three Newcastle and I have two Crystal Palace currently. So I'm not overly concerned about that. But over to you, Paul. What are you thinking about your chip usage and where are you kind of sitting at?
I think that, like we talked about earlier on the pod, I want to make big cuts to my team and just get players that I believe in and that have already shown that they are performing at a high level and consistently going forward. So in full transparency, if I had the ability to, I would probably play my wild card as soon as possible. But with the assistant manager chip, I will not be able to play it until going into 26.
Yep, which I think...
Going into 27.
Going into 27. Okay, right. Because you played your assistant manager starting in 24.
Mm-hmm. So okay. It's 24, 25, 26.
Yep, okay. Well, I think the thing about that, there's a blank game week in 29 that you kind of need to be concerned about. If you're wildcarding in 27, 28, that's something to worry about. So maybe my suggestion, I was saying earlier, I think going early would be good, but maybe you wait till 30. And that gives you time to get ready for the double in 32, the double in 33, address the blank game week in 34, and then be ready for the double in 36 as well.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that we always talk about too in this pod is that we are very, very against playing a free hit in a blank game week, right? But I mean, it's possible there could be two games that week in 34 based on Ben Crellin's schedule.
Yeah.
And that to me has a lot of upside in itself, because if you're even able to field like a full team out of that, or... No, you're not able to even field a full team. I mean, you can have six players, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like...
So, I think that...
I guess you could technically...
That raises the point of, okay, well, maybe you don't even use a free hit that week, right? And then
just
maybe...
Just let it be what it is.
Maybe use... Like, you could target...
It seems like 36 is a great week to free
36
hit.
36 could be a great week to free hit if you don't have another chip.
It could be a possible game week. If there's all those blanks in 34, they'll probably be moved to 36 is what it seems like. I'm not stating that for a fact. That's what I'm just assuming. But using a free hit and a double game week, I think, does make more sense. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to have to figure out where all my chips lie, because I still have a triple captain. I still have a bench boost. I still have a wild card. So there's a lot of things to utilize that I really need to sit down and just plan it out, because that's the best way to do this. It's just to have a game plan, stick by it, and really just be tactical about how I use all those chips. Because that's a great way to raise your rank. Or lower your rank. However you want to go about it.
I'm just thinking about this real fast, and I'm going to throw this idea out here to you and see what you think. So what do you think of the idea of wildcarding in 31, to get your team ready for 32 and 33 because there's going to be two doubles. There's going to be a double in 32, a double in 33. 33 is going to be the biggest double is what it seems like. So you wild card in 31, you assistant manager in 32.
I don't have that left.
Well, I'm just, it's the idea. I'm just thinking.
Out loud. Yeah, go ahead.
So you assistant manager in 32 gives you potentially four doubles to address there. In 34, you'd have to transfer in the assistant manager, but kind of just write that off as a week that, you know, it is what it is. You free hit in 36.
Mm-hmm. For the double?
For the double there, which will probably be two to four teams doubling.
Yeah.
And then you bench boost in 38 for the last week of the season because you know what teams are playing for. You could even take a negative for that week and it'll pay itself back so quickly because if nothing else, you're getting those points from players sitting on the bench. I don't hate the idea. And I think with the wild card in 31, you can, with that mindset, say, well, I need to be bringing in players that I think I know will be playing in 38.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I don't mind that idea. It's interesting. It's not my main idea right now, but it's something.
Yeah, kinda like Luke, that. Just tossing an idea out there that I just thought of. Glasner playing the assistant manager, him game week 32. They're going to play Manchester City. That would check the box.
Yep.
Of the Newcastle, that would check the box.
Uh-huh.
Their possible double game week in 33 is Bournemouth. And the next fixture that would be Arsenal in 34.
Yeah.
And if it's Arsenal, you would basically get four fixtures in 2 weeks where you have a shot of getting the table bonus.
Right.
I mean, and you don't have to waste a transfer, which is what I'm kind of running into. Like, that could be the best usage of the system managership right there, like 32, 33, 34. I mean, they may blank 34, so you may have to transfer Glasner out the third week of that. But I mean, that could be an exceptional use of the system managership.
Yeah, I really like that idea. I think Bournemouth at home, that's a really good fixture to target.
Yeah.
Bournemouth have been a great team. But like, here's the thing. I think Crystal Palace are an aggressive team that are not afraid to play long, and that really Bournemouth do not like playing against teams that play directly.
And the big thing about this is that imagine if Eze gets in good form in the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I think he's been better lately, but like if he gets kind of like really going, Crystal Palace are a very dangerous team to play.
I think Arsenal, I don't know if he had a transfer fee that could have been paid in January. I think Arsenal should have gone and got Eze.
Oh, he'd be great.
Any team that, you know, is competing for Champions League, if they did not do their due diligence and check to see if he was available this window, they are not doing their jobs properly because Eze is a top talent.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about that is, I mean, in January he's had, let's see, 3 assists and a goal. But over the last two against Everton, he's played 45 minutes, United 29 mm-hmm. minutes. So the minutes are a risk, but I mean, if they get him healthy, he starts playing, creating for that team. I mean, it raises uh-huh. their ceiling.
Oh, it does.
And their floor so much higher, you know?
Okay. Another chip usage idea out there, because this will hopefully get everyone's, you know, wheels turning for what they might want to do for their chips. What do you think of the idea of wildcarding in 31, right before the double start,
mm-hmm.
free hitting in 32, and then bench boosting in 33 for the really big double? So you'd be wildcarding in 31 to load up your team with as many players as possible for 33, but then you free hit in 32 the week after you wildcard. But that way you're maximizing the double in 33 with the bench boost, and you can wildcard into it 2 weeks ahead. And then you use your assistant manager in 36 to get a piece of those doubles there. You get four fixtures from three game weeks as long as there's a double given in 36.
Mm-hmm.
And potentially, so for 36, let me see, I think that Ipswich is someone that's very interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because they would have Brentford at home and Newcastle away, with both of those being table bonus. And on top of that, they then play... maybe that's...
I mean, the next game in 36 for Ipswich is...
In 36, yeah. So it's Brentford, and then they would have Leicester away, yeah. And then West Ham at home, which those would not necessarily be table bonus, but you could switch it to another manager where you could get maximize the potential for the table bonus. So just food for thought there.
Yeah. I mean, I love that idea. Another thing too, Luke, that if you still have your triple captain remaining, I think there's going to be some really great weeks to target. And I mean, I'm just going to throw out a couple names that I think could be really good, and they are not Mohamed Salah.
Okay. Yep.
I absolutely love Isak against United and Crystal Palace in 32.
Yep. Yep.
Newcastle Agreed. Have had a dip in form compared to where they were probably like a couple weeks ago. But Isak, we just know that he's going to consistently return. He's going to have the ability to score a hat trick in any given match. He has a large upside. But he also is consistent in the scoring too. So you're not taking a huge gamble to me.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's not. It sucks to miss both the Salah doubles because I kind of like screwed myself over with the assistant manager chip, kind of eliminating Liverpool
right.
doubles.
Yeah. Yeah.
But end of the day, another one too to be very aware of is in match week 36, City play Southampton.
Yes. But that could also be rearranged to go into 33 as well.
It could. But Haaland, putting a triple captain on Haaland, if you get him back into your team, would shoot your rank up the board.
Yeah,
it really would. Because, yep. I mean, imagine Haaland gets a hat trick and you triple up on that while people are captaining Salah. I think it's a great way to play a differential. I mean, let's see. I want to see what Haaland's done in January. Give me 1 second. So, look at this. He assisted in the last match against Newcastle, had 2 goals against Real Madrid, a goal against Arsenal, a goal and an assist against Chelsea, a goal against PSG, a goal against Ipswich,
mm-hmm.
2 goals against West Ham.
He's been better, man. He's been so much better.
He's scoring goals again. Like,
yeah.
It's not like we're not seeing... I mean, he had the brace against Real, but we're not seeing the hat tricks, but I mean... We know that it can easily happen. I mean, think about the first 5 game weeks. It was like, holy yeah. fuck, he's going to
yeah.
break his own scoring record. He's going to break every mm-hmm. record. And then City aren't the team yeah. we thought they were. But they're getting better. And I'm an unashamed Man City hater. But like, if I can get Haaland in a hat trick week as a triple captain, and then he has another fixture, we're yep. cooking, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, and another shout I have that I think is really interesting, we'll probably wrap here in a second. I really think Newcastle playing Nottingham Forest at home, that could turn into a very, very rough day for Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
I think Newcastle could give them a rough time at St. James Park. And if they get an early goal, if Isak is up there absolutely cooking, the way Newcastle play, Forest, I think, will struggle with the intensity that they play with.
Yeah, that's the thing about Newcastle is that you just know when you're watching them, when like literally after the first 2 minutes of a match, what it's going to be that day.
Yeah, they are very much dependent upon their energy.
Like they're an energy-driven team. And it always fucking happens that like you just know when you watch them the first 2 minutes what that day is really going to look like.
Yeah, it's like against City. I mean, the numbers were not that bad, really, but... City dominated that game. Marmoush created finished chances that, you know, he just showed the player he is.
Really. Yeah, I mean, I think, is Nick Pope back yet? Was he in goal?
No, it was Dvraka.
Dvraka was literally the definition of no man's land on that first goal when Marmoush chipped him from the Ederson assist.
Yeah.
Like, literally just looked up at the ball and was like, I'm just here.
That is a beautiful finish. That is a player that is able to just flow into a game, and he made that look so effortless to just take it over the top.
And not to bring this up, but like that just shows you when a club has the assets, has the money to invest when they need an attacker, what that can do for you.
Yeah,
it really does. It shows you that like having that money and like having the ability to bolster a part of your team that needs it. You know?
My slight pushback there. Money does not necessitate that the talent turns into actionable, great players.
AKA Manchester United. It does not.
The recruiting, I mean, look at you. You can look at a lot of teams, right? Look at Manchester United as an example. West Ham spent a ton of money in the summer window. You can look at Chelsea. Brighton have spent a ton of money. I mean, Brighton are sitting 10th in the table. Money does not mean that you're going to be successful. You have to know where to get the talent from. And I really think that there's something to be said for not only having the money, but picking the right talent with that money. It's not easy to do. It's really not.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. I mean, there's so many factors that play when you discuss, like, especially making a transfer in the January window, which may not be something that clubs love to do because they want to be on the same page all the way through their whole organization. They don't want to make rash decisions. They don't want to, but sometimes you just have to do it because you need to have goals. It's that simple.
We'll see what happens with Arsenal because I know that's your concern. Like, where are the goals coming from? But hopefully
we got Mikel Moreno. What are you talking about? Are you kidding me? This is Ronaldo.
Ronaldo, yes.
He's reborn. Back.
He's reborn as a Spanish midfielder.
I mean, honestly, though, Moreno may not be a horrible shout. I mean, what's his price point right now?
But here's my question. Why would you go with Moreno if you could go with Guarneri, who's $5 million or even possibly cheaper than that?
Who went off the crossbar twice against Leicester?
Yeah. If you want to invest in an Arsenal attacker, which their upcoming run, West Ham at home, Nottingham Forest away, Manchester United away, Chelsea at home, Fulham at home, Everton, Brentford, Ipswich. I mean, if you feel like you trust Guarneri, I would go for it if you want to get a piece of the Arsenal attack. But we could easily be in a situation 3 weeks from now where we're like, well, you know, they've scored two open play goals. So,
but the corners.
Yeah.
The corners have dried up.
They have.
But yeah, Luke, I think there's a lot of good little tidbits here in this podcast today.
For sure.
Is there any other topics you want to discuss before we kind of sign off?
The final thing I want to leave on is that I am very happy for Tottenham Hotspur, their manager, Ange Postecoglou. I'm really, really excited that he's gotten two wins under his belt, maybe a little bit more breathing room, because I hope he can stay with Spurs. I hope they give him the time to let him invest in the squad and build them into a team that is competing for championships, because I love him. I think he's a great manager. I love that he abides by his principles and has a specific style he wants to play. And he really just says, fuck it, I'm going to play like this. We'll see what happens. So yeah,
did you see the kind of back and forth between him and Amorim?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Interesting.
Yeah. But
interesting. I agree with you though. I think Ainge should, if Tottenham want to change who they are as a club and you want to be bold, let him invest, let him play his style of football, and hopefully you have a season where you're not decimated by injuries, because I mean, that's just been the story since he's been there, which maybe it's his style of play. That's the discussion, but I don't know. I think it's good for the Premier League that Ainge is in the Premier League.
I'm going to call it now. Take this for what you will, but I think that they will win the Europa League.
They could. It's very possible.
That is my mic drop moment of the podcast. Really not that scorching hot of a take, but that is what I'm going to leave everyone on. So, Paul, what are your final thoughts? And we'll get out of here.
I think one of the main things we talked about in the pod is chip usage, and also kind of determining, like, having a real grasp on, like, the pulse of your team right now. If you've had seven straight green arrows, really think about what you've done right and keep that going forward. But if you also have, like my case, like, I mean, I think I have two green arrows in the past like 12 weeks. That fucking sucks. Don't do that. And like, whatever, like, look at your team, figure out what you're doing wrong or right, and adjust to improve, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's really good advice, that sometimes we just have to sit and think about what decisions we're making, what's worked, what hasn't. And even a 5-minute, you know, reflection, or put some notes on your phone, right? Say, okay, here's what I think
notes are a great point.
Here's what's not working. Here's what's working. And that helps you bring your thoughts together in one place and then get you ready to go for the next couple of weeks. Because I think sometimes we're very reactionary as managers, when it's better to take an inventory, see what we think, and then go from there.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I think there's a lot of good information here in the pod, Luke. But yeah, I mean, we'll see kind of where things go in the next couple of weeks. There's going to be a lot of movement in FPL, and we'll be here the whole time to discuss it.
Yes, we will. Thank you all so much for joining us for this podcast. We will be back with you very shortly with a new one, talking about Game Week 26 and getting you ready for Game Week 27. Thanks, everyone.
We'll talk to you soon.